This is a series of writings, emails between Z. Charnot and a friend, T.E.W. or T.W. Those are his initials. And I'm on part two. And this is a letter from T.W. to Z, sent on Tuesday, November the 8th, 2005. Subject is some eco-culture status questions. And I will continue where I left off. The indigenous peoples understood eco-culture in its advanced state, but were forced through relocation and change to abandon much of their practices. Many Native Americans are obese, and something like 20-30% have various stages of diabetes due to their primary food source being government commodity foods, which seems to disagree with their genetics and generally is unhealthy, starch, sugar, fat-based food. Our family sponsors two Lakota families and one Navajo family, so we know about this firsthand. The Native Americans do have a strong desire to regain food sovereignty, and there are a number of initiatives underway to help there. I've made contact with a nationally known nutritionist, Tibby Conti, who is from Pine Ridge and has been developing culturally specific nutritional programs. Susanna, one of the Lakota women we sponsor, is chief cook at the Pine Ridge Medical Center and works with Kibby to develop the menus. I've also contacted Alicia Bell Sheeter of First Nations Development Institute, who has been involved in developing a food sovereignty workbook and planner for the tribes to use to survey their current status. I observed that on the Pine Ridge Reservation, where our Lakota families live, there are a number of small towns separated by about 30 miles. It seems each town and surrounding area contains only a couple of thousand people at the most, since their whole reservation has something like 26,000 people in total. The small population concentrations would be ideal for the eco-culture type growing concept. Since the beginning of this investigation of food sovereignty, I've been thinking that specialized greenhouses and probably something like biodynamic organic farming are the answer here. In the last 6 months, my intuitive sources have been constantly feeding me the word greenhouse and hydroponics. In fact, on the weekend, a friend sent me, out of the blue, an article on stacked container hydroponic gardening in Florida. The CEO of one of my technology customers, Peggy Schultz, is a grant writer, and her current business that I help her with is a grant processing business, and she has offered to assist me in grant preparation should I find a good opportunity for that. I'm highly interested in experimental greenhouse technologies, and my background in electronics engineering, computer programming, and farming suits the skill sets needed well. It seems the intuitive sources are nudging me none too gently into heavily investigating this area, so it was no accident we have been connected for a number of reasons, I'm sure, and I feel it appropriate to inquire about where you ended up with your eco-culture project, and just to seek your opinion on whether you think some variation of your eco-culture growing concepts might be a good fit for the Native Americans on the reservations. Perhaps there is an opportunity for a grant to be put in place to set up and operate an experimental system or something. If you feel this subject merits further discussion, then let me know your thoughts. With kind regards, T.W. The subject of the letter that Z replies to is the same title, Some Eco-Culture Status Questions, and Z replies on Tuesday, November the 8th, 2005. Dear T.W., thank you for your thoughtful description of your care and concern. We have found ourselves in the midst of the Ojibwa First Nation people and their similar plight. First and foremost, what I experienced in my scale-up attempts at controlled environment cropping, not a greenhouse because I closed the ventilation system, is that it requires a very extensive amount of learning about plant biology and plant physiology. I was in partnership with two Scottish lords who both had degrees in agriculture from the Royal College of Agriculture at Cirencester in England. They had too much of a money-only, money-first orientation for me to be able to continue to combine efforts with them. I diverged in 1979. We used a welded film covering, which was inflated with carbon dioxide. One layer of it was tinted with a dye from Holland, from Tenhorn. That dye converted ultraviolet light into a red able to be used for photosynthesis. Inside the inflated panel was a metallic coated web. This web could also be independently inflated to provide summer light intensity control, like the whitewash used in greenhouses, and also closed at night to contain heat. The carbon dioxide inflation diffused into the controlled environment cropping space to enrich the carbon dioxide level to 1,300 parts per million. It also diffused outwardly to prevent breakdown of the film from oxidation. The whole structure was engineered by Ove Arup, the engineers that did the Sydney Opera House, according to concepts I developed as an architect. All covering was installed on the ground, then the structure climbed its own columns. The panels were dielectrically welded. The automatic machines to make the covering panels were made by Flodin Industries in Lysekil, Sweden. They still have the plans for them. The offices of Ove Arup that did the engineering are in Dundee, Scotland. Gislaved in Sweden made the covering vinyl. We used train dehumidification equipment, which was altered to provide some air conditioning and capture the water given off by the leaves, 5 to 6 times their leaf weight per day. This we called dewdrop water, and we bottled it. The last time I did this, I was growing a lot of cucumbers. That gave a flavor to the water. The cucumber plants grew at the rate of 15 inches per day, at the highest rate we achieved. There is a video of this held by someone in Rochester, New York. If this sounds interesting, we can start by learning sprout and eating the sprouts and or feeding the sprouts to goats or cows and using the unpasteurized milk and cheese. Jennifer is a cheesemaker. We can also combine it with aquaculture, raising tilapia, fish. I look forward to your uptake on this. I believe in symbiotic ecology. This also affects the view of healing and health. Worms, Z. And Terry writes back, Thursday, November the 10th, 2005, with the subject, R.E., unusual shift of subjects. Dear Z, ha, I enjoy your approach to life so much and the way you always look through the transient details to get to the core principles underneath. I've been extremely blessed already with the sharing you have done one-to-one with me and with your published materials. It has been made apparent to me over the years that a sweet spot I have enjoyed, which I determined to be harmonious working with spirit, is along the lines of system building and social network building. In this role, I am rarely an expert or even what could be termed proficient in any one of the areas involved in the system or network, but I have a gift of strong intuition / pattern sensing and do approach new ventures from heart. From there, the universe has assisted greatly to multiply and expand my energy expenditures, at least when I was attempting to serve others rather than self. Please proceed to part 3.